All right, my talkers, 4 o'clock on a Wednesday. We are hanging out with myself and Lori here. We're calling it the thong show, I believe is what you called it earlier.
There's not three of us, so we don't have granny panties on. We just have a thong.
We just got a leg in this world.
And just a little tiny strip of material is keeping us.
It's keeping us alive, keeping us separated
from the audience.
I love it. Yes, and a little Taylor Swift there. We've got some fun, maybe potential exciting news about TNT's relationship coming up in the Dirt Alert here. I listened to the new podcast, and Travis Kelce's talking a lot about his girl. So I've got some.
Well, I fully expect these two to get married, babies. Mm-hmm. I feel like they just are met at the right time of each other's life. That's why I, the most cynical, non-romantic person, could really get into this because I could just feel it wasn't. This isn't just a love affair.
No, this is something special. And our show in particular, we called it right away. Right away. We've been on board with TNT since day one, and I'm proud of that.
But also, we've been on so long that we've been with Taylor through her the first time. You know, I mean, we've been around too. Yeah. So for 20 years. So like we feel like we've like seen her go from. Like she's a niece that's the high school romance, and then your first college crush, and then the crush after that crush.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know.
You've watched her grow, and now
she's watched her grow up.
Finally found who we hope will drop to one knee, but we'll see.
All right, so I always get a little bummed out, like when one of our weekly great shows is over, like when Fargo ended.
Yep,
that was just. So much fun to watch that show. Now our weekly show is Shogun.
Yes.
And that is just an epic on FX and then airing the next day on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And then Casey and I, when I got back from Hawaii, we really got into and binged The Gentleman on Netflix. Oh, Guy Ritchie. It's the TV series based on this crime. Think Syndicate. The Sopranos with aristocrats in the UK, and the drug is weed. That's what they're moving. And we both enjoyed the caper side of that. But then, you know, I was like, I always just am a sucker for like a good drama, like a Fargo kind of a thing.
And you date night tell. Well,
something we can binge.
Oh, like
that
like
we
the
can
binge.
Get into and binge. So
like, that.
Like on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because like, a lot of our shows, like Apple, you know, that once
they
a week
drop.
They
yeah,
drop.
You're right.
And I had on my list to watch this show when it came out in 2022, but it was on the BBC and I didn't have access to it. And then it might have gone to Max for a minute, but they didn't ever plug it. And finally it dropped in the beginning of March on Netflix, where it is a huge hit. And I am here to tell you, if you need a beguiling drama that could have come from the minds of the Coen brother, The Tourist is what you need to watch on Netflix. It stars Jamie Dornan.
Yeah.
And Danielle McDonald, who I remember seeing her. I think it was this movie called Patty Cakes, where she was this like this young woman who punk rock drummer or something like that. And then she was in Jennifer Aniston's movie Dumpling.
Okay.
With her, but she, it's.
Yeah, she was in Patty Cakes, the movie 2017.
Oh, honestly, this memory of mine
is. You got it. Where do you keep all that?
I don't know. But she's a very. I don't know. From the minute I saw her, even in Patty, there's something about her as an actress that. She just is, she's very good. And the story is this guy, he's in the Australian outback and he gets chased by a guy. He doesn't know it. It all unfolds backwards.
Just doesn't like have a full memory, right?
He doesn't know who he is, but the whole thing is filmed in the outback. So, I mean, it is epically arresting because of where it's filmed. It is such a wild, wild, wild story. Solid shocks and twists and turns. Mm-hmm. Some heart-pounding moments. Some times when you're just like, holy crap, what did I just see? And we got lucky because I guess there were just six parts to it. And Casey and I finished it last night. Came out in 2022, but just dropped on Netflix. And then season two just dropped on Netflix. So you got two back-to-back episodes. And Danielle McDonald and Jamie Dornan as Helen, the constable. And Jamie is the man who doesn't know his name. It's just so good.
It's got 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, so you're not alone in the love for this.
Yeah, he's just this mysterious Irishman who wakes up in an Australian hospital with amnesia, and there are...
I love that idea.
...characters galore.
Okay.
Okay? And even the character of the Australian Outback is like a good Coen brother movie or the TV series. You know, sometimes the place is also a good character in the show.
Yeah, the setting, absolutely.
And very much this place is of the setting.
I mean, look at White Lotus. I mean, we fell in love with everywhere we go with White Lotus, absolutely.
Yeah, and Casey and I just looked at each other last night and we were like, I think we had like three episodes left. That's like 3 hours, you know? And I'm like, is this going to be, are we going to the sunken place? He goes, well, we'll just see how each one ends. And each one ended, and I was like, press play.
I love that about a show where you can just, like you said, where you can just, it keeps you wanting, you can't stop.
The drama is beguiling you, it's begging you to finish it, and it's just flat out terrific.
That's good. Two seasons, like you said, and they're all dropped, so you can really get into it, and like you said, binge it as best you can.
And I'm happy to report some good news for Jessica Biel because, you know, she is married to Justin Timberlake, and that's her cross to bear.
Yeah.
Or her choice, excuse me. But she brought us The Sinner on USA Network.
I forgot about
Bill Pullman, and there were four seasons, and that was a book. Really a great show. She starred in the first season of it.
Mm-hmm.
She was terrific in Candy, this other true crime.
I never watched Candy, but you always liked that one.
I liked that one. Yeah. And now she's going to be in Karen Slaughter's series, and Karen Slaughter's writing the scripts, and I called The Good Daughter based on her. Karen Slaughter is the one who created the Will Trent character.
Yes.
And we have that show on ABC, Criminal Bureau of Investigation. I read a number of Karen Slaughter, Will Trent books when I was in Hawaii, and I'm now a part-time medical examiner. With a great understanding of dyslexia, but she is going to star in this Peacock limited series based on Karen Slaughter's book, The Good Girl, or The Good Daughter.
The Good Daughter, okay.
Which Julie and I read that book, and it's a terrific book. It's a mystery, good, I don't know. I like Jessica Biel's, her company's producing it. Karen Slaughter is adapting it, and just like she's involved with her Will Trent character, and that's a good show on ABC.
Yeah, so that's all good signs to a good show. And like you said, everything she's touched, Jessica Biel herself and her production company.
Yeah, and it's about these two sisters who have this night of this terrible, terrible thing happens and how they have to deal with the aftermath of this 20 years later. Ooh. Good book. It'll be a good series. And Jessica Biel is one of the sisters, and she's a lawyer. It's just twisty and makes me think of like The Sinner. I mean, it's going to be good TV.
The Good Daughter, right?
The Good Daughter. Right. So that's I'm glad for her that she's got something good going on.
Instead of just...
as his album is bombing.
Oh, gosh. Bombing. Like I said yesterday, not one song was in the top 200, which is that a surprise?
But... And how do we feel about Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, speaking of, you know, Fargo, True Detective, compelling shows? They're going to play themselves in a meta comedy.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
Oh, yeah?
I'm all in for that for sure.
It's coming.
I love it.
Maybe next fall. All right, listen, we're going to be right back with some random thoughts. All right, let's go to Iceland, everybody. If you are feeling like this would be a trip that you would enjoy, but you wouldn't maybe go on your own, how about going on a small group trip with Julie and I to Iceland? We're going October 1st to the 6th. And Borden Overseas, they truly are just the travel and tour experts, and they have been putting small group trips together to all kinds of incredible destinations since 1894. And we've got an amazing itinerary, and we're staying at a great hotel, the Reykjavik Saga, Hotel, which just opened in 2022. We're doing two full days of tours. We're going to the Blue Lagoon. We've got a kind of a food tasting experience in the city of Reykjavik. Northern Lights, but we're also going to have some free time for going out and shopping. Go to My Talk, keyword Iceland. Space is limited. You're going to want to check into this ASAP.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
You know, I saw this story the other day.
Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now... Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
And speaking of random, we did, thank you, Grant, post Jamie Dornan is the cover star Spring Men's GQ. Is this GQ?
I don't believe it's GQ.
Whatever it is, he looks amazing.
Yeah, I got it directly linked there to the website, so there's multiple shots. It's very, very, very amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, he really... He has, you know, he took a career bump when Fifty Shades of Grey.
Okay.
Because he was very divisive. Charlie Hunnam left.
Yeah.
He was originally going to be Christian Grey, and more people could see Charlie spanking them lightly than Jamie Dornan. So there was a, me including, so there was a lot of people who felt he was woefully miscast. But, you know, he and... Dakota Johnson saved that movie.
The
he was so good in
50
it.
Shades of Grey. Yeah, I never watched it.
You know what, just, Grant? I think you'd enjoy the light erotica of it all.
I might have to.
No harm, no fault. It's kind of a sexy movie. We don't get them very often.
That's right. Sit down with the lady and check it out.
Why not? So anyway, but he really did. And then he's just done a lot of different things. And I think he's talked about it that in interviews, how that kind of that whole... take playing that character and all of that. But okay, so that's posted for you.
Yeah, you gotta check that out. Absolutely.
All right. And then this morning, charities across the land, the most amazing billionaire fairy god person of them all, mm-hmm. Mackenzie Scott, Jeff Bezos' ex, who when she left her marriage and, you know, I don't know how much, $750 billion, whatever, a lot of money. And she basically said, I'm going to give it all away too. And she's been giving chunks and chunks of money away, and really kind of amazing because she gives her the money to charities that she probably has a team that vets, and she wants to make sure it's going to, you know, legitimate places that are making a difference. But it's no ties.
Yeah.
You don't have to write a paper. You don't have to give a marketing plan. Do you know, like, charitable organizations are run lean and mean, and to have people like, it's just kind of, it's a very liberating way to give away money, I would imagine.
I love it.
Oh, can you, I mean, yeah. whenever I have been, you know, when you do give money, you want to just give it freely, and it's just... $2 million to her might be $500 to us, Grant.
Right, exactly.
Or whatever. But
exactly.
Here GMA had a story about what the latest is that Mackenzie Scott has done.
We are back now with our play of the day and what billionaire philanthropist Mackenzie Scott just did. It'll start your Wednesday off right. You got to share this story with everybody, Lara.
I will, Robin. Good morning to you. Okay, Mackenzie Scott is one of the richest women in the world, and since her divorce from Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, she has vowed to give away the majority of her $59 billion fortune to good causes.
Wow.
And this morning, she is keeping true to her word again.
I have two pieces of news. The first is that we got Mackenzie Scott. And the second is they gave us $2 million.
Brian Wallach suffers from ALS, but this morning he is learning some hopeful news. His foundation, I Am ALS, receiving $2 million from billionaire philanthropist Mackenzie Scott. Overnight, Scott announcing she will be donating $640 million to 361 organizations. That's more than double the $250 million she initially pledged to give away last year. In a note on her website, Scott, the former wife of Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, wrote that she was grateful to Lever for Change, the organization managing the open call for charities, for creating this pathway to support for people working to improve access to foundational resources in their communities. They are vital agents of change.
This is a super great program.
Another of Scott's 2 million grants to Beyond Literacy, a group that aims to improve lives by providing high-quality education and career readiness. Khalid Ali McDaniel is a benefactor, using Beyond Literacy to help him begin a new career in construction.
The need in Philadelphia is significant. The rate of low literacy for adults in Philly is almost twice that of the national average.
To have financial security, the ability to think long-term and invest in our mission is something we've truly never been able to do before. Yeah.
Well, since she began giving away her billions in 2019, Scott and her organization, Yield Giving, have researched and selected groups and provided them with large, unrestricted gifts. Mm. And it just keeps going from here.
It does. Oh. And they're unrestricted, as you said. There's
That's
nothing.
So important to note.
It really
no
is.
No rules. Mm-hmm.
And that is. So, like, there was a great story in the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press today about eight of the organizations of the 316 that are getting these 2 million mm-hmm. are in Minnesota. And they had quotes from, like, here, this CAPI USA, which is a Minnesota-based nonprofit that helps guide immigrants and refugees yeah. who come to Minnesota to, you know, how to they can be self-sufficient and how just all the ways that they can help them.
Yeah,
you can
social
only imagine
equality. Yeah, absolutely.
All of that. So that CEO said when we got the email, I was at an event. This is Mary Niedermeyer, and I had to maintain my composure. Oh. We feel incredibly grateful and honored to receive this once in a lifetime gift. These funds will also help us because they're focused in the city of Brooklyn Center.
I love it.
I know. So there were also Outfront Minnesota, Wellshare International, Appetite for a Change, all really amazing outreach programs, and people are just overcome with joy about what this means to actually be able to turn around. Because remember, a nonprofit is always about helping somebody.
Yes.
And like actually being able to do that instead of fundraising and asking for mm-hmm. money and hoping to get money. And I hope we're going to be able, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a tough road to hoe for sure.
Yeah.
And then, so, and this is just in the article too. I find this, you know, in 2023, she donated an additional $21.6 million. And so according to Yield Giving database, 33 nonprofits in Minnesota have received at least $127.25 million since 2020 from Mackenzie Scott.
Wow.
Isn't that a lot? That's it just in Minnesota, $127 million.
Yeah, that's just
that's incredible. Wish we could all, you know, Jeff Bezos should take a little note.
Oh, I know it. I know it. She is showing people how to be a billionaire, though, yeah. Man. That is, Julia and I have talked about that, just that. How incredibly fun and empowering it would be to just realize, okay, $59 billion, you're never even going to be able to spend the interest on that.
No.
Or whatever. And so to just decide that you're going to figure out the best way to give it away, to make the most impact, to change lives, to change. I mean, like, wow.
What a gift to have, and to be able to have someone that is actually following through with the idea is a blessing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, and just on the other side of it, good news, Paris Olympics, we've got 300,000 condoms that have been ordered. That comes out to 21 per athlete. Maybe I'll give more news on a Sex Monday about
that. I love that you broke it down per athlete.
Oh, yes, Grant, of course. So one math I will do.
That is for sure. Sex math, absolutely.
Hey, everybody, it's Lori here for Chan Hassen Dinner Theaters and the most incredible show that you will see this year on a stage. It's on the main stage. It's beautiful, the Carole King musical. And it is a story that you probably don't know, even though you know so much Carole King music. And but her story, how this child prodigy comes to be this incredible composer and meets this man, Gary Goffin, who writes incredible lyrics. And you know all the songs, "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman," "One Fine Day," "Will You Love Me Tomorrow," and every top recording act of the 60s recorded their songs. And it's just a great, great story of Carole King and just a delightfully fun, magical evening. Go to chanhassendt.com. Chan Hassen, always entertaining you. My goodness, my goodness. It
doesn't end.
It doesn't end. The Royal Clown Show doesn't end across the pond. The memes and social media posts have really, I mean, the U.S. is definitely laughing at the Kate Middleton thing. People are getting it, but major U.S. brands, Grant, are doing funny social media posts. Kim Kardashian was going out somewhere in Beverly Hills in a new car, and she said, "I'm going out to look for Kate." You got airlines photoshopping Kate and William at the farm. The latest, you know, possibly sighting of her, but like saying, "Oh, we love the Dublin airport. We love when our people can take off on time." The New York City of sanitation department used Kate Middleton, I can hardly say it without laughing, as a Kate's been found. She's putting her trash out in bins. Be like Kate.
Oh my God.
And Merriam-Webster put up a photo of William and Kate up and said the Merriam-Webster Citation Archives, and it's a library in all the library index cards.
the old drawer. I get you.
The Prague Airport. They've just arrived on time. I think there was another. Every morning this week, all three morning shows, ABC, NBC, CBS, have done royal recap because there's been that much having their royal reporter correspondents from across the pond. Extra and Entertainment and Access Hollywood have run explainer stories, including the Rose Hanbury. I mean, all of, you know, it's just like unbelievable. It was almost like Colbert doing that little thing and then the palace making so many.
Oh, yeah.
Groups. But really, I should clarify, there's two palaces. It used to just be one palace. But Prince Charles or King Charles is Buckingham Palace.
Okay.
Prince William is Kensington Palace.
Okay.
All of this stuff has been coming from Kensington Palace, but where has Buckingham Palace been?
Yeah, no word.
Tweet,
huh?
Tweet, no word. The palaces are fighting. I mean, I don't know why I didn't conclude that earlier.
Yeah, that's true. We haven't heard a word from Buckingham here, right? It's all been from Kensington, so that makes sense. There's definitely a little bit of a...
And why? Well, Prince Charles has cancer.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exactly what probably always happens, if I were to look back at some of my rural historical fiction that I've read, the Tudors and so on and so forth, courtiers, the people, the court, the men in gray suits, and the ladies in gray suits that are giving advice and counsel. Now we've got two houses. You've got William, who will be king. He's even though Prince, we heard that, you know, kind of from a source, King Charles calls him. Now, this was a planted story that he's the 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Because you can bet that King Charles was not happy that his son canceled speaking at his godfather's funeral 4 hours beforehand for personal reasons.
Yeah.
It was just such a I don't give a crap thing. It's not even well thought out. You can't say that.
No, no, not at all. Can't do that.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, now, so that I have had, I do think that social media, they have been having fun with all of it. But I mean, there was a BBC sports reporter that was talking about, I think that video, that is a Kate Middleton lookalike. This is someone on the BBC saying this out loud. You've got headlines, you know, made up and deflecting. Kensington Palace working around the clock. People are, Getty Images is being asked to investigate all of Harry and Meghan's photos.
Because, they've found some discrepancies in some past photos.
At The Guardian, a columnist said that Prince William is throwing gas on the fire every day. I mean, England itself is like, they're having a lot of, this is a total catastrophe.
It is. It's
so what story happens to be presented to us, even though this happened in January, go ahead and roll the next royal report.
Here we go. Oh, you want me to play the music bed or just
No, go ahead and play the audio.
All right, here we go. Of course it is. Hold one second here.
Oh, kind of getting an
it's
end.
Getting, it's yep, nope, here we go. Let me get
headlines about Kate, the Princess of Wales. And a serious allegation. The Mirror breaking the news that staff at the London Clinic allegedly tried to access her medical records from her January operation. A UK privacy watchdog confirming to NBC News it received a breach report and now investigating it. Kensington Palace saying this is a matter for the London Clinic.
This is quite a serious breach. Even if it's someone who was just feeling a little bit nosy, they should not have been able to access her records. And for someone like the Princess of Wales, who's made it clear how much she wants to keep her privacy, this will be very alarming.
Meanwhile, Prince William carrying on, and for the second time in as many weeks, mentioning Kate.
Her dream's my wife's territory. She needs to be sat here to hear this.
But the scrutiny continues as photo agencies review past handout photos from the royal family.
Oh boy.
The Getty Photo Agency and Reuters calling into question numerous digital inconsistencies in this photo taken by Kate in August of 2022. Meanwhile, we saw King Charles drive by Buckingham Palace twice yesterday, carrying out official duties even as he undergoes cancer treatment. Subscribing to his mother's mantra, you have to be seen to be believed.
Back to the investigation. That's pretty alarming. Someone trying to break into the hospital records. What would come next in that investigation?
Okay, just so you can stop it for that. Okay, but just so you know, Kensington Palace knew about this in January. So this is a convenient story to resurrect right now to try and get some sympathy because you don't ever want your records to be hacked. But I also wonder if it's not one of the tabloids trying to pay somebody because there's been... Now people are questioning about the dates of the surgery and if William was really there. You know, Kensington Palace has, they've boxed themselves maybe in on, and maybe someone was trying to do that, or maybe it was just some nosy Betty or Benjamin who was just trying to see what was really up. But convenient that the news agencies are alerted of this, even though the breach happened in January.
2 months ago, It's very convenient, right.
But
it wouldn't surprise me based on, like, you know, all the phone tap. I mean, all the stuff that they've done in the
they can't be, tabloid. It's a weird relationship, and they are finding themselves boxed into it.
Yeah.
And look at Charles. He's just like, he's not doing anything, but he got in that car and he made the circle and everyone saw him. I mean, that was Queen Elizabeth. You have to be seen to be believed, which is out where this whole mess started with Kate in the first place.
Yeah, because we haven't seen her, you know?
And then the stories that we were getting, they just handled it all where they could have just...
If they said never, like you said, never explain, never complain. If they would have just kind of left it, I think. But it's these constant, like you said, stories and photos that are just that are questioning and damning and don't make sense.
And then, you know, the Photoshop, the Franken photo that really started everything going, when they said William took it and then she had to own up to Photoshopping. And then it became apparent that it was just like somebody put a collage together.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even take that picture. She doesn't even look like that, you know?
And why, exactly. But why
lie about it?
That's my question. Yeah. Why even lie about something so simple about that? You know, like, just tell us.
There's other ways of being seen, too, that could have been. Anyway, but it has been fun for a lot of places, but I got to imagine that... It is ugly in the palaces, and people are not getting along.
Nope.
And I think that there is a lot of behind the scenes stuff that is going back and forth. And all I could think of is if Harry and Meghan were still there, they could be doing stuff, doing royal stuff. That was the dumbest thing of William to get jealous about his brother.
I know.
Jeez.
Hi, I'm Prince Harry.
Hi, Harry.
He would be a definite light to a dark palace right now, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, but yeah, the Daily Royal Crisis, now the, convenience story coming out about the possible hacking.
Yeah, well, we'll see what comes out tomorrow, right?
Well, I mean, really, heads should roll for this. Somebody should be fired. But, you know, I got to believe that William is also, this is just from my years of being a royal watcher.
Uh-huh.
But I do feel that there is just a certain amount of innate arrogance that he has because he's born with the knowledge he's going to be king.
Yeah.
What's the old, you know, heavy lies the crown.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and...
He's probably thought for his whole life.
It's almost like a fairy tale. And then they lose their mom young and she's not done. She is worried. She can see that William is very much like his father.
Yeah, and that's the scary part. How they as a family
have repeated.
Exactly. Repeated what the devastation that broke their entire family up.
Yeah.
Is being repeated. And that's actually, I mean, I don't mean to go into sports, but you know, Tiger Woods, when this whole thing happened with it, watching his father doing what he did all those years,
yes,
and doesn't give an excuse for what Tiger Woods did, but I can see how this
history repeats itself. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Not in a good way, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think Kate has been thrown under the bus by her own palace, which is her husband.
Yeah, just
having to eat the crow on that,
mm-hmm,
when she's, and then.
There's an arrogance there.
Yeah, William should have taken the blame for that picture. Come on now.
I agree.
All right.
Well,
let's go. We got a Hollywood speak, but we do have somebody in his own voice, in his own word. So it's going to be a hyped up Hollywood speak.
I love it.
Well, here's a thing that several news outlets have reported that, quote unquote, Kensington Palace has a top secret plan in the works to ensure that when she does come back in public, everything goes smoothly.
Just good to know. Good to know.
Good to know. Somehow I think your top secret plan, it makes me worried for you based on everything else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I agree. That's a good Hollywood speaker.
That is. Okay, so Lucas Gage, who was he in White Lotus the
Second season, yeah.
He was the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lucas Gage was in the clubhouse last night with, the heck was it? Katie Maloney.
Yes.
From Vanderpump Rules. And just wanted, I was so happy that Andy asked this question because we didn't pay that much attention to the story, but it was kind of wild. Last fall,
mm-hmm,
Lucas, and of course, you know, the White Lotus and, you know, the Emmys, and it was still in people's top of mind. And he got married to Chris Appleton, the Hollywood hairdresser in Las Vegas, and Kim Kardashian was the
officiant, right?
Officiant. And he's quite a bit younger than, Chris.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it was just like, and then no surprise when they broke up rather quickly after getting married. So Andy actually was good and nosy, and here we go.
Love that he brought this up. This is perfect.
I was surprised that you got married after dating someone for 2 months. Absolutely. I mean, what is that?
I had a manic episode for 6 months. Those jackets, those furry jackets. There's just
you got married in fur coats by Kim Kardashian in Las Vegas. What happened to you?
I don't know literally what went through my head, but we live and we learn. And
what was the reason for your divorce? It was days after the Kardashians episode aired when you got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly you're getting divorced. There are allegations of cheating. What can you tell us?
There was no cheating. Oh, God, Andy, there's a three-letter thing that I signed that I literally...
Oh, you signed an NDA?
Oh.
With him? Okay.
He can't even say right. He signed anything.
I plead
anything.
The fifth.
Okay, very good.
I plead the fifth. I love that.
He had all good excuses. I had a manic episode for 6 months.
Yes.
Basically, the Hollywood speak on that is the sex was so good, you weren't thinking straight.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, I have a name for it. Orgasmic haze.
That's right.
And yep. You make bad decisions financially. You can't see.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see out of the covers.
That's
You're
right.
Blinded. You're blind. So he was in an orgasmic haze. Mm-hmm. And I literally don't know what went through my head. Why? Because he was in an orgasmic haze. And you do live and learn. And yes, then he remembered that he signed something. Can say nothing. So I will say that Chris Appleton paid him
probably
some money.
Yep.
Just go away and shut up and let's
move.
I
on
mean, he could even be nervous about even saying I had a manic episode for 6 months.
Yeah.
He was just speaking to himself. So Chris would have to be ready to have more people speculate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll let that one go.
I would hope so. I mean, yeah. That's not saying anything about Chris himself, but yeah. Just about him, you know? So,
all right. Now this is,
ooh, what do we got here?
This is Kanye West, who I don't really care to talk about, but he's always walking around in big black clothing while his Bianca, his doll wife, who I feel like has got a gun at her back, is parading around in something that really is just meant for the bedroom or a sexy peep show or,
yeah.
You know, it's very burlesque. It's
absolutely.
Very dancer.
Yeah.
Like, well, he showed a thing in his studio. He's designing again. And it was all different shades of skin tone.
Oh.
Pantyhose. Oh. Very sheer.
What is his... He has no... For a person who has had a very large influence on fashion at one point in time in his career, in
so
my
basic.
Eyes, is so boring and basic.
Well, I got a theory about that. The Hollywood speak on that is that the first time that young Kanye... probably ever had a sexy experience involved sheer lingerie or pantyhose.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
I'm with you there. There's got to be an obsession.
I swear.
Well, that's the way he, and then that's the way Bianca, what's her name?
Bianca.
Bianca, that's all she's wearing. And he's, oh, I mean.
I click on every, and I scream. I cannot believe what she is wearing.
Yeah.
And her iPhone is how she covers her.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
Viva La Vulva.
Viva La Vulva.
Because
yeah.
She's always wearing sheer pantyhose that you can see right through
everything.
Everything. Anyway, no one's buying this because Kanye, no one wants to wear sheer nylons or pantyhose outside of a sexy situation.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. No.
We're not wearing them as pants.
No. It's like, we need a hard pant.
We need a hard pant. We're not wearing them as skirts. We're not wearing them for warmth. We're not wearing them. First of all, who can ever get the crotch aligned in the right spot in those things?
I don't know.
That's
that.
Why you cut out the crotch.
That's...
Okay.
Always.
Right.
Always.
John Mulaney is not mentioned in his ex-wife's
really?
New memoir.
Oh, wow. I thought that would be the juiciest part of the whole thing.
So did I.
So that maybe the Hollywood speak, did they sign an NDA? I mean, why would... Because the way that they broke up was so juicy that you would imagine that's what she would put in there.
Yeah.
How she felt, what she was
doing. He went on a bender, checked into rehab, dumped her from rehab, met Olivia Munn supposedly at a West Hollywood AA
meeting. Yep. And now, boom, together. Boom.
Well, anyway, Anna Marie Tendler, and apparently as a couple, he did a lot of stuff about her, and then they had a dog. Did you ever watch his stand up stuff? No. Anyway, she's, it's a memoir. She didn't include him because it's an endless source of my heartbreak and rage, which is just men. And he's not in it. She talks about the relationship prior to him and what she learned. I'm like, I'm surprised she got a book deal.
That's why would you even write that? Why?
Yeah.
No one even has any.
I mean, she's a lucky cocaine addict. She might have had some stories.
She probably does. And that's where I think maybe because of his past and his erratic behavior, maybe there was an NDA there too. But then why would someone give her a book deal?
Or maybe she's
being polite and kind.
She could because of his addiction.
And they have a child together too, don't they?
No, he had the child with Olivia Munn.
Right after. That's it.
Anyway, but good luck, Anna Marie, selling your book.
Yeah, that's a bad move.
Okay, Bill Maher, Hollywood Speak this. He re-upped his contract with HBO for 2 more years. But that's not the headline. The headline is that he then fired his agency because he wasn't invited to an Oscar party at CAA Brian Lord's house. Even though the agency's still getting the commission.
Oh, my Lord. And he didn't get invited, so he fired him.
Well, I don't know if he was invited and left off this year, or if the assistant screwed up, or Brian handed out invites on the Hollywood playground, wherever that is, and Bill didn't get his, but he's feeling...
The agent's got to be happy, got the deal done, gets a percentage, and he's out.
Yeah, I mean, how'd Bill find out? Did he sit and look at his... I mean, there's a lot of parties on Oscar night.
Yeah, I'm sure. Bill seems like a guy that's got his a tab on everything, so I feel like...
It bothered him immensely.
I feel like that. He's been a little bit of a grabby pants lately. I like him, but...
He fired his agency for not getting an invite to an Oscar party. Mm. Oh, my word.
Yeah, figure out some priorities there, buddy.
Yeah, all right.
Well, see you on the other side.
Okay, let's do it.
All right.